Welcome to Gushers, the podcast for gushing about music, where you don't have to know a single goddamn thing about music. All you have to know is that it makes your heart gush, you know? And if you know a thing or two, if you can sing a song, if you can perhaps fiddle with an instrument, you know, that's okay too, as long as all you want to do here is gush. I am your host, Ashley Hamilton. This podcast is produced by Bug Hamilton, and this week I have, yet again, an incredible guest for you. She is a singer, a performer, a pop musician, and an internet personality. So follow her wherever you find your internet, at Stella218. And, you know, without any more ramblings, let's welcome Liz Mace. I am here with Liz of Megan and Liz. Yes. You are a musician, a person on the internet. I'm so excited to talk to you. My first question is, how did you get into making music?
Oh my gosh. Well, person on the internet is a great description of who I am, because I've been chronically online since the year 2007. Wow. Yeah, that's when my sister and I started doing YouTube videos, like back when YouTube was literally just invented. We did like cover videos and we wrote our own songs and stuff like that. And before that, we even did Music MySpace, which, yeah, I didn't want to like age myself too bad. But yeah, we had Music MySpace and then we did YouTube. So we had like 100,000 friends on our Music MySpace, where we would upload our like GarageBand songs, and then we moved over to YouTube, and then ever since then, that's when we really started, and yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy time.
And did you guys know that that's always what you wanted to do, and then you were like, oh, the internet's here, and so we can just like start it from our house? Or was it something that you, like, how did it come to be? Was there like a conversation where you sat down together, like two little teenagers, and you were like, let's make music together? Or were you always just like singing together, and so it just happened?
We were always singing together. Like, my mom was like a musical theater woman. So she was just like always having us sing around the house. And there was like videos of us when we were like three doing like karaoke and stuff like that. And then we'd do talent shows when we were, you know, 10, stuff like that. And then the internet came around and Megan and I were like, if we want to make it, we've got to be on the internet. And we lived in like a small town. We didn't even have regular internet. We had like dial-up internet, so we had to like go to my grandma's to like upload the videos. Like, it was so crazy. But yeah, no, we were like, this is how we're gonna like become our dream of being pop stars. and it, you know what, I think I could say it worked. Like, technically, yeah, it worked. So
that's crazy. How do you feel like your like music taste has changed in those years, like the type of music that you want to make?
It's funny because it hasn't changed. I feel like, so I listened to some Gushers episodes in prep, obviously, and it's funny how you say, I forgot which episode you said it on, but you said that you were in your like woman loving era right now with music, where like you were just coming around to it. That is the exact opposite for me. Like, I grew up listening to pop music sung by women, period. Like, top 40. My mom loves Celine Dion. She loved, you know, just any sort of Faith Hill, just really popular women music. And Megan and I always joke that, like, we never liked the boy bands. We never liked anything like that. We loved the pop girls, just the pure sugary pop girls. And that was the kind of music we wanted to make. That was the kind of music we wanted to write. That is the music we wrote. That is the music that we put out. So it hasn't changed. It's still the music I love today.
And it is like, I should branch out. Music. Like, it is the best stuff. Like, I love, like, I just like didn't know about it because I feel like so much of my music taste came from my dad, and he has like very specific taste, and he would be like, oh yeah, that one's like boring or whatever. And so I would just be like, oh yeah, it's so boring. I hate it. And then I started listening and I was like, oh yeah, no, it's incredible music.
I'm so glad you say that, because I did listen to the episode with your dad, which, such a sweet, sweet man. That was like such a sweet episode. But I was like, oh my gosh, she is going to think that I am the most basic, just because I don't know a ton of like pop of classic rock. Like I
But
literally
you
know
don't need,
nothing.
it's like every, okay, every music has an era and people know a lot or not a lot about that era in its own right. And so then there are certain things that because they get elevated by like douchey rock boys, everyone's like, oh, well, this is like the core of what you must know. But that's not true. That's like how it's like the American education system when they're like, oh, these are the most important wars. And it's like, I mean, not really. They're just the ones where we sometimes look good. But there's a lot of
Yes.
other, you know what? That's such like a weird thing to compare it to. But I just feel like it's so, I don't know if you know a lot about a certain thing because you gravitate towards that thing. It's not like less important than a different thing, especially when it's all just your own taste.
I just feel like the girls, you know, who love Taylor Swift, me, who love Katy Perry, me, just I feel like I've just come up so much in my life where people are like, oh, you're a musician. Like, your music must be so interesting of what your playlists look like. And I'm like, no, it is top 40 music. And I get a lot of crap for people being like, well, shouldn't you explore and like this artist and whatever? And I'm like, no, I want Katy Perry.
What, speaking of top 40, what have you been listening to lately?
Well, as of what, 2 days ago, Ariana Grande's record just came out, Eternal Sunshine.
Okay.
And I'm trying to separate the art from the artist. You know, like, who knows if the home wrecking allegations are true? I am choosing to ignore them. I'm choosing to dive headfirst into this album because it is so good. It is pop music at its best. Truly, I truly believe that.
I am an Ariana Grande stan. I saw a TikTok the other day recently where someone was like talking about her, you know, home wrecking allegations, and they were like, no
Yes.
one has a nice thing to say about Ariana Grande. Like, no one who knows her likes her. And I actually did meet her once, like in a casual setting, not a pop star on setting. And she was so nice. I loved her. And so, and that was years and years ago. And I don't know, obviously, so many people are so different in different situations. Like, people can change dramatically. But since that day, I am just head on a fucking guillotine prepared to defend her to my death. And so, you know, that is maybe a toxic trait of me or not. I don't, I love her. And this album, what, okay, the day it came out, I was like in a weird fucking mood. I've been in a weird mood this weekend. And I was like, I don't even like this album. And then last night and today, I was listening to it. I was listening to it all morning and I was like, oh, it's a perfect album and I love it. And I paused it to come and do this interview. And I was so excited about this interview, but I was a minute late because I was like, I gotta finish this song. I just gotta finish this song.
Yes, it's almost like the second time listening to it kind of did something. I don't know. I'm so glad we're on the same page. I'm
Yeah.
so glad
I
that we are
am.
Ariana fans.
Very like, listen, man, a home that didn't have cracks can't be wrecked. They don't just fall down. She, well, how could she? Whatever. I'm sure that there was something going on. I won't say that she's definitely a good person, but she was nice that one time that I met her. So how could things be different?
And you know what? I did see a TikTok, you know, discrediting the allegations. And
Wow.
you know, maybe that's true. So
She also,
who
I will
knows?
say, does just sing about that. She is like, no, I do not care if a guy has a girlfriend.
That's true. I guess we are ignoring breakup with your boyfriend. I'm bored.
Yeah.
But you know, it's all right. She makes great music, so
I
can't
know.
deny it.
I'm pretty sure she is just like a creative genius, and that is something that I like about her a lot. I love when artists, you can tell how much they love making the thing that they make. And I think that not a lot of
Fully
people
agree.
care that much about the creative process, especially once they get a lot more successful. And I think that there was such an era of, especially with female pop stars, of labels like trying to take as much autonomy and creative control away from women as possible to like crank them into this pop system. So then when I see someone where I'm like, I don't know, maybe you're not that good of a person, but at least you're taking creative risks.
Yes, and also something about Big Pop and about like the pop girls that I love so much is like when you're talking about like artists, yes, it's artists, but it's like the writers. I am such a nerd for writers that
Yeah.
it's like the first thing I do when I like listen to an album is I check the song credits because the artist is so much the writer. And like I feel like there's like, so for this Ariana album, like, I was all Max Martin. So literally every single song was Max Martin, which, I mean, Max Martin is, I mean, he's
Hit me,
insane.
baby, one more time, you know?
Yes. And I just, and when an artist finds a writer that they work with, like, that is so amazing. So, like, Ariana and Max is amazing. Another, like, favorite example of mine is Tate McRae, who's like new pop girl. Okay.
Yeah.
I liked her older stuff, but the newer stuff, like X's and Greedy, which are, like, in my opinion, like the pop sugary goodness that I think is like big pop, that is Ryan Tedder. So I feel like her and Ryan Tedder are like the Max and Ariana. And I think that is so cool when I see like an artist find their writer. And like you can really
Yeah.
tell in an album. And like that's what I love about like pop music, you
Well,
know?
it's so weird now that you're saying that, that people don't take that seriously like a band. Because think about how many bands, when it's actual musical instruments, like live on stage or something, like find their sound when they get like the right drummer in place or when they find, you know what I mean? Like Blink-182, like didn't really blow up until they had like the drumming of Travis Barker. And then you have like, I mean, we just for the other podcast read Carrie Brownstein's book, and the way Sleater-Kinney like really found their stride when they got Janet on the drums, Janet Weiss, I think, and like, or just other instruments. I think I mean, you hear that all the time with like instrument bands where like they were kind of flailing or figuring shit out, and then they find like a certain guitarist or a bassist, and they're like, oh shit, this unlocks everything. And so I feel like that is the same with like a pop star where like their instrument is almost a right. There's like the pop star, the performer, and then there's like maybe a writer and a producer that once you have those pieces all in place, like that's the band.
Yes, I never even thought about it like that. That is so accurate. 'Cause like the raw like creative talent is there, but like you need the help and you need the guidance sometimes of just like a good collaborator, which
Yeah.
is like so crazy.
'Cause like obviously nothing can replace or like manufacture the charisma of a pop star. Like that's why there's some people are pop stars, 'cause you're just like, yeah, look at that. Look at her. That's a pop star. But then if you don't have the other pieces in place, it just like never really goes anywhere. Like think about how many, when you look at the 2000s and the 90s and like the amount of people that they tried to make be Britney Spears, that just kind of like it didn't work. Like listening to Mandy Moore talk about it is so interesting because she just was not pop star. Like obviously she's magnetic and incredible and I fucking love Mandy Moore, but like I don't know, when you look at her music career, like yeah, it's just not pop star.
She's a great example of that. Yeah, she had like the look and like the voice and everything, but I don't think she found her right writer,
Yeah.
which I don't think they gave pop stars as much of a chance back like in the 2000s because there were just so many, you know, like and they were all kind of the same. Whereas like now I feel like we're getting a lot of chances for like artists to like find their writer.
Totally. What else have you been listening to lately?
Obviously Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I will never stop listening to Taylor Swift, but I'm in my like Midnights era still. Like that is still
Nice.
in my favorite records. Like I know it's like a year old, but I will always go to listen to that. Tate McRae, obviously. I love Tate McRae. I really liked her last album. And then Sabrina Carpenter, I've always loved. Just, you know, all my pop girls.
Dude, I am getting really into Sabrina Carpenter. Oh my God, I just saw the funniest little movie on Netflix that I didn't know existed. But me and my friend on Saturday night, we were like, let's just like watch a goofy little movie. And there's this movie where Sabrina Carpenter plays a nerd trying to get into Duke, and she's like obsessed with extracurricular activities. And then she isn't going to get into college unless she gets on the dance team. It's so funny. It's so good. You gotta
I'm going
watch
to need the
it.
name.
It's, and
That
she's
sounds right up my
so
alley.
little, and she's playing a bad dancer, and it's of course. And then as soon as she's kind of getting it, you're like, yeah, of course you have rhythm. You're a pop star. Whatever.
You're literally a pop star. Oh my gosh, and it sounds right up my alley. I'm very interested.
Are you ready to get into your numero uno gusher?
I am. I'm always ready. Always ready to
Okay.
talk about Teenage Dream.
Okay. So today we are talking about Teenage Dream by Katy Perry. A frankly, like game-changing pop song.
Teenage Dream. I will never forget when I first heard it. I was going to Warped Tour. I don't know if you ever went to Warped Tour, but it was in Chicago, and I remember like the album artwork so vividly of like the wig and like the colors and everything. And I remember that seeing the album artwork and being like, I know this song is going to be good. And then listening to it, we were actually going to do a cover with a band called The Somerset, which is like a Warped Tour band. Like, they still do shows and everything, but we were doing a video cover of Teenage Dream the day it came out. Like, because we knew that the song was going to be huge. We didn't know what it was going to sound like. We hadn't heard it, but we knew at that time, we had talked with the guys in the band. We were like, whatever this Katy Perry song is, it's going to be amazing. And we have to cover it on the day it comes out. So on the drive to Chicago, we just listened to Teenage Dream over and over and over again to get ready to film a cover of this song on the day it came out. And it's the best pop song ever written. Like, it's the lyrics. I love the concept of like feeling like a teen again and like being in love. It's a love song, which I really, really like. The production is great, which is Dr. Luke, which again, it's hard to like separate the art from the artist. I don't want to get too much into it, but Dr. Luke and Max Martin, you cannot deny that they had a chokehold on pop in the 2010s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you can hear it. You can hear the influence of like the guitars. I think that comes from Dr. Luke. And then the melodies, I think, come from Max. And then it was also written by Bonnie McKee, which I love her as an artist. And I love her as, like, a writer. And it's just the best pop song ever written.
I love Bonnie McKee. I feel like she's incredible with her kind of ability. I feel like she's such a great writer and she can do so many different styles. And then her actual stuff is still just, like, I guess I don't feel like she ever really hit mainstream that hard. So it's kind of like bubblegum alt pop in this weird way. But I love it.
What was that song? Do you remember American Girl?
Yes.
By her? Oh, I die for that song. But that was giving very much Teenage Dream. Like, I swear every song, every pop song written after Teenage Dream was ripping off Teenage Dream.
Yeah. It had so much of this, like, that energy, there's so much energy in it where you are like physically exploding with the song, where you have to start moving. I can't like fathom sitting still and listening to Teenage Dream. That would be crazy. It like actually puts you in a chokehold and I can't believe it. I also
agree.
I remember like the music video so well. This album was like a turning point.
It was. And that's like why I chose Teenage Dream, because yes, it's the song, but also just this album was pinnacle of pop music. Like, and I think that it will never be topped as like the perfect pop album.
Yeah.
It just hit after hit.
I'm looking at the track listing right now, and we had Teenage Dream, California Girls, obviously, Firework, Peacock. I don't know. Okay. I feel like Katy Perry's like physical style was so crucial to this album. And I like the way the wigs, the way that like so much of this has been co-opted by like future pop music, that not even in a bad way, but I feel like she gets very little credit for being deeply iconic.
No, I agree. And I think it's because of, you know, her next couple albums just like didn't do commercially as well as like Teenage Dream. But like, how do you come off of Teenage Dream? Like, you cannot top Teenage Dream. So it's like the only place to go is down. But like, she doesn't have a Grammy.
Isn't that insane? Crazy.
Like, Katy Perry does not have a Grammy.
I will say Teenage Dream and Prism should have been Grammy winning albums.
Yes. Prism was great too. But then like, Witness, I didn't love.
I think Prism is where she started to actually fall off, to me personally. And like, I don't mean fall off. Because the thing is, she'll always put out great hits. I just feel like, in terms of what we were saying earlier about Ariana, the way that I feel like Katy Perry got kind of sick of it. I feel like she was like, okay, I don't know, man. I'm like very famous and shit is like not going the way I want it to go. And so I'm just going to, I don't know, produce an album. I'll come sing for a day.
Yes. I mean, and let me just say, like, my experience as a quote unquote pop star was not anywhere on the level of Katy Perry. But like, when I say it is exhausting, it's exhausting. Like, we were 19, 20 years old doing these shows, like writing all the time, like doing on a very low scale of like what Katy did. And like, it is so much work and it's so much pressure on like your talent, on your looks, on your body, on your attitude. It's like insane. And that's why people ask us all the time. They're like, why don't you do music anymore? Why don't you do music anymore? It's like, because I'm 30 years old and like, it was the most intense time in my life. I'm so grateful for it. But like, it was exhausting. And it was like, the pressure is insane.
I don't know how people do it. I mean, me and Claire tour and we'll do 2 to 3 nights in a row and be wrecked. And all we're doing is, I mean, there's like obviously travel involved and like getting to a place and then we're on stage for a long time and we're improvising a lot of the show. And I'm like, how is Taylor Swift alive? No, like, I don't understand. When she announced Tortured Poets Department, I was like, bitch, go to bed.
Like, no, it's okay. Like, Taylor, it's okay. Like, you can take a nap. Like, we're still going to love you. But, no, I fully agree. Taylor, well, actually, let me circle back. First of all, do never, never discredit yourself for the work that you do and the touring that you do, because I know for a fact, like, even doing 2 or 3 in a row is insane. And like, your voice is crazy. Like, literally, do not ever discredit yourself. Like, that is such hard work. And like, y'all should be so proud of yourselves for that. But Taylor, I think, personal opinion, I think she's on a ton of like IVs. I think she like has a really strict diet. I think she has a really strict like regimen. I mean, she has to like
she's operating like an Olympian.
Yes. Yes. And like, creatively, I don't know. Like, I personally, like, when you talk about like artists and like, when you talk about like an artist being like really into their art and stuff, I personally get burnt out really quick. Like, if I write 5 days a week, I'm like, I can't write another song for like 2 weeks. I need a break. But Taylor, I think, is just one of those artists that like, it doesn't ever stop, which is crazy.
I can't believe it. It has to stop. I'm like, relax, please. I don't know how she, and like, that's the thing, is when people talk about someone like falling off, like, listen, Katy Perry, like, I just don't, I feel like her later albums, especially because her earlier albums were such incredible riffs on pop music as we know it. And so then for her later albums to fall into like straight, plain bubblegum pop, whatever, like, it made me feel like she just like wasn't even showing up for it, which, like, again, I don't even blame her for, but that's just how I felt about it. Yeah. But like, the way that people will be like, oh, this artist hasn't put out an album in like, you know, 2 years, 3 years, whatever, they fell off. How everything in the way that the media works now, like, people are just moving so quickly. Everything has such a short lifespan that if you don't get like new shit constantly, people are like, oh, they disappeared. And it's like, no, that's just how long stuff takes, especially if you want to like live a life in between any of it. 3 years between albums used to be like bare minimum standard. And now it's like, where did they go? They disappeared.
And I worry about the like the longevity of the pop girls right now.
How could you
like
do
I think
it?
About I know I didn't mention Olivia Rodrigo because she's definitely one of like the pop girls right now. I like her music. I like a little bit more sugary myself. Like, I think hers is a little bit more like alt, like a little like darker, which like I appreciate and I respect, but like I personally like more like a Sabrina Carpenter. But anyways, like, I think about Sabrina and I think about Tate and I think about Olivia and I'm like, are they gonna have a career like Katie?
Yeah,
you know, like, it's so, who's gonna replace them?
Hard, because I feel like so many of them are like of the mindset where it's like, I don't know, you either have to like take it, get it while it's hot, or like fade into oblivion. And especially, like, not to shit on Taylor, but like with her like setting the example of like never stop, never stop, never stop, I feel like it does set a standard of like, instead of this idea that you can like kind of like push out creative projects as they make sense, it's like this belief that we should always be getting something. Otherwise, that person is like taking a fucking snooze.
Yes. And also, it's the, with the pop girls, it's the reinvention every time that they have an album. Like, it's a like, look at what's happening with Camila Cabello right now. Okay, so like, she's obviously prepping for some sort of release. And like, have you seen all this with like her hair?
Yes, it is. Yeah, literally someone like, showed me the video and they're like, who do you think this is? And I was like, couldn't put a title on it. And they're like, that's Camila Cabello.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think that is something I'm fascinated with. And I think it's also something that Katie kind of invented. Okay, you could argue that Madonna invented it because she was constantly like changing her hair and her outfits and everything. But like in modern day, like Katie was the one who always had a different wig, always had a different look, always had a different era, like her candy, cotton candy era, like all that. But then you look at artists like even like today, like Camila Cabello, and it's like, oh my God, new project. I've got to platinum dye my hair and like things have got to change and like the Instagram's got to be wiped. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just, it's so fascinating to me, but it's also exhausting. Circling back to, it's exhausting for the girls.
Yes. I don't know. I really don't know how they do it. It is.
Yeah.
I like can't fathom. And I feel like there is just this, I don't know. It's so strange because I feel like doing kind of a greatest hits situation, doing the Eras tour, like could have been a break. Mm-hmm. Not to bring it back to Taylor again, but I'm like, why?
Always.
Why more? And with Katie, I am like, she had a very public breakup. She had a lot going on. And I wonder if she just got happy and then was like, I don't actually need to be firing on all cylinders anymore. And then it is that weird thing where if you're not firing on all cylinders, then it's kind of hard to fire on any cylinders. Like you kind of have to do a full album cycle with a world tour or what. And I'm interested to see, because I do think she's great, I wonder if she'll like kind of break the system and do something else. Like I think some artists are starting to kind of dip into alternative ideas, like the way Kesha is just throwing albums out there in like a quieter way. I don't know. That could be like a really exciting thing. I think there used to be this like trope of pop, young pop star turns into like old singer-songwriter lady, but I'm like, no, maybe maybe young pop star turns in person who values their sanity.
Yeah. No, honestly though. And like, that's what we want to see. Like, that's like what, like you and I who like grew up on Katie, like I want to see that. And like, I would love to see her like as an artist, especially because like circling back to like, I love the idea of like the writer and the big pop era, but like, what is the original artist? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like every artist, like Britney has went through the big pop era, obviously with Max and everything and whatever, and then it's like Katie went through her big pop era. You could say that like Taylor went through her big pop era with 1989. You could say that, and then she circled back to like Folklore and stuff.
Yeah, I would love to see Katy Perry's like Folklore, because the thing about Katy Perry that I feel like everyone forgets is that that bitch can sing.
Yes, and she, and before all of that, all of the Max and Dr. Luke and everything, she had before One of the Boys, I think, was her first album. Like, there were, I think, Max songs on there. Yeah, there were. But a lot of the tracks were just, like, Katie. Yeah. And they were really good. So it'll be interesting. I hope she does that, too. Just, like, forget the big songwriters. Forget the big, like, who's hot right now songwriters. And, like, let's see what's happening just with Katie.
Yeah, I think it could be really exciting. I feel like as much as I've talked shit about her, like, no, I loved Katy Perry. And then I feel like, you know, swish, swish and all that stuff. I was like, for the love of God, I'm mad at you because I know you're better. And so now I'm I really have it in my hopes and dreams that we like get something. I think she could do something really exciting.
Yes.
Like when she wants to.
And I'm also excited to see who like Max Martin works with next.
Yes.
Like I want to see, like obviously Ariana is like a huge album and I love that album, but I'm like, who is he going to pick from the other pop girls, from like the young pop girls? Is like, cause it's inevitable to me. Like, I think he's going to work with Olivia. He's going to work with Sabrina. He's going to work with Tate. He's going to work with one of them. And I really wonder who it is.
Yeah.
Like that's who I like nerd out about. I'm like, I'm ready to hear some like Max and Sabrina.
I think that would be such a good one. I think that would be like such a fun little combo. Oh, yeah. That's exciting. I'm excited. Do you have any final thoughts about music and pop and Katy Perry?
Yeah. I just think that pop music is fun. I love pop music. I think it always should be fun. I think that if you are interested in like writers at all, like look into writers, and it's so fun to like play a game when you listen to songs to see like, oh, this song was definitely meant for this person. It was written for this person, but it ended up with this person. That's like my favorite game to play. Like a good example of that is the new Usher song. was that Kissing Strangers, I think it's called. Or yeah, was definitely meant for country artist Sam Hunt. If you like look at
Oh.
the yeah, if you look at the songwriting credits, like it was written by all writers who like have written for Sam Hunt, and somehow it ended up with Usher, which is like crazy. But like I love playing that game, and if you like get interested in writers, you can play that game with any song you listen to, and it is so fun. And you can hear like who it was meant for, or like the demo, or like anything. So
Oh,
it's fun.
fun. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram. My Instagram is Stella218. It has nothing to do with my actual name. It's like a long story. Just don't worry about it. And then Megan and Liz, if you're gonna know a song by us from like back in the day, it's gonna be a song called "Bad for Me." You might remember some memories, some fun times with that song, because it was in random places like Kohl's all the time.
Incredible.
And just Megan and Liz on TikTok, and yeah.
Oh, amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Ashley, thank you so much. This was so fun, and I'm such a fan of you and your work, and you do an amazing
Oh
job.
my God.
So,
I'm such a fan of
bravo.
you. Thank you so much.
Of course.